Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I've been an 18-wheeler. Well, I want to hear from you. Are you going to do the right thing and not drive into Manhattan ever again? Plus, you and I are going to discuss the horrible fact that no man wants to live in the suburbs. Now, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
The return of San Antonio's famous noseless stripper. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of a corrupt NYPD member who got fired and turned up later in a precinct cell area with a gun in his car. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Basic humanity gets grandpa clipped in the parking lot. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Want to get drunk? What's the occasion? It's Tuesday. Hi, fair enough. Let's go. Want to get drunk? What's the occasion? It's Tuesday. Hi, fair enough. Let's go.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
But the fact is that no man ever said, you know, I want to leave my downtown loft and move to Newtown, move to Brentwood. No man has ever said that. Suburbs are a female construct. Women want to move to the suburbs. Because you see, when a guy falls in love, and he gets engaged, he's living downtown. He's either got a cool studio apartment or, you know, one of those converted lofts where they used to manufacture chemicals. And he's living downtown and he's living the life. What does that mean? It means that there's something nearby open 24 hours a day. If you're living downtown, there's something near you that's open 24 hours a day that you can go down from your loft in the big freight elevator that you get to operate yourself as you wanted to as a young boy. And you get in this freight elevator with that big handle and the big steel cables, and it's a cage. And you get to the street, and it's 1:43 in the morning, and you are buzzed. But you need something to deal with what's going to be a hangover. What do? You walk half a block to the all-night deli. This is when you live downtown. You go to the all-night deli. And you order a grilled cheese and bacon with extra butter, toasted. And then you walk that back to your loft, get in the elevator, eat half of it before you get back to your apartment, and you are living. This is life. Now it's 2:20. You got to get to work sometime around 10 tomorrow. This is life. You got it made. And either you got a can of beer or a Diet Coke, me, a Diet Coke. That was the life. And then on Saturday and Sunday mornings, you get up whenever you want. And you go to the same deli. And you pick up the newspaper. And you're on your phone looking at porn at 10 in the morning on Saturday. This is the life. You always dreamed of this. And where are your parents? Oh, they're over there. They're far enough away they can't just drop in. And you got a pet, not a dog. Most single men don't have a dog. It's a pain in the butt to have to walk the dog. They got a cat, a sensible cat. And all their dates, oh, I love your cat. Oh, the cat's so cute. And he's got it made. A pair of running shoes, but he doesn't run. Why would you do that? Two nice suits, five nice shirts. Kitchen clean every 10 days. Maybe he's smart enough to hire somebody to help him clean the apartment. That's very important for nourishing dates. Right, Sean? This is very important. And then one day you meet the girl. and she loves your loft. And she, this is a really, you keep your apartment really nice. And this cat, I love this cat. And things are going great. And you say, let me introduce you to my deli. They make the best fill in the blank sandwiches. And she goes with you. And she's so excited to enter your world. And then later on, you go to her apartment, and her apartment is all white and pink, and there's a big Snoopy dog. There's always a stuffed Snoopy dog in the right girl's apartment. Guaranteed, there's always a Snoopy something in the right girl's apartment. And if you're really lucky, you got the loft downtown, you got the 24-hour deli. If you're really lucky, the girlfriend does not have a roommate. Because a roommate is a good trial run for having in-laws. It's a good trial run for having a sister-in-law. If she has a roommate, you have to muster up enough charm to make her think you're okay. You're not okay, but you make her think you're okay. And then the darndest thing happens. Months go by. She goes to a game with you. She goes bowling with your friends and pretends to like it. She makes rare comments about your clothes. She seems tolerant of your clothes. She seems tolerant of your sexual escapades. She doesn't quite know about the porn yet, but why bring that up? And now you're sitting there going, well, I don't want to break up with her. And I do love her in my own backwoods way. I mean, I let her watch the game with me. I let her sit on the sofa. I hid the stains on the sofa from the last one. No, I think we should get married. And then you go to Steven Singer on the other corner and you get an engagement ring and you try to put as much down as you possibly can. But the trick, gentlemen, is a carat and 3/4, not 2 carats. Get the one as close to 2 carats as you can. And VVF1 quality and a D color. That's what you want. You get that ring in white platinum, not silver. White gold or platinum, but not silver. And you ask her to marry you. And then she's planning the wedding, because at that moment, your life is out of your hands. The wedding that she's about to plan, she started to plan when she was 8 years old. She's had an Instagram bulletin board of wedding things since she was 8 years old. You are progressively irrelevant every single day until the ultimate decree comes from your fiance's mouth, which I will share with you in just seconds. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this live radio show on a Sunday night is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
All right. Good evening, Sterling on Sunday. It's 20 minutes past the hour. We're driving across 80, I-90, the Luge, the 101, the 5, and the 4 in Florida. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday, a live radio show on Sunday night. It's a little different. It's sort of like a morning show, except it's at night. It's a morning show for you going to work on the third shift, the late shift, the only honest shift. Isn't it beautiful to go to work on the third shift? HR never visits you. They never ask any of those annoying little survey questions that HR likes to ask, like, have you been offended recently? Because only if you've been offended does HR have a purpose. They gather up resentments like other people work in clay, and they mold them into corporate policy that you hate and despise. But again, because you and I work the late shift, we don't have to put up with that. We don't have to deal with any of that nonsense. When a man gets engaged, his life that he knows is over. The things, the peripheral items that he loves, his loft, his freight elevator, his gear. Men don't have furniture, they have gear. And his 24-hour source of food. You live downtown, You have a 24-hour source of food nearby. You can walk to it. That's why you got the apartment, right? Okay, great. All is well. And then you get engaged. What happens then? Well, first of all, you find that you're arguing with your fiancé over who your friends are. Well, do we really have to invite him? And then the truth comes out over which of your friends your fiancé actually likes versus the ones she was just being nice to. So you would get to the engagement. And then now the 200 invitations go out. It's a very interesting phenomenon. There was a brilliant salesman. He sold cars, but he was brilliant. He sold more individual cards than anybody else that year, Joe Girard in Detroit. And he noticed that any time he went to a Catholic funeral, there would be prayer cards printed up with the deceased, a picture, a prayer about them. And they'd always have enough. They always seemed to have exactly the right number. One day, Joe asked the Monsignor, he said, how do you know how many cards to print? And the answer was, it's always 200. It's always about 200 people come to the funeral. And then he asked wedding caterers, how many people usually go to a wedding? And the answer is 200. So you and I know enough people. You and I know 200 people well enough to come to our wedding and our funeral. That's the law of 200. And Joe's point was that if he sold somebody a great car, 200 people will know. And if he sold somebody a lemon, 200 people would know. Every customer that Joe Girard sold a car to, he gave a box of his business cards. He didn't give them his business card. He gave them a box of 200 business cards for them to share with their friends, because if they're happy, hey, are you happy with the card? Do me a favor, give my card to all your friends. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, the other brilliant thing that Joe Girard did, this really was brilliant. He, in the month of July, he sent every customer he ever had contact info on a birthday card. Have a great birthday. Good talking to you, Cliff. All the best, Joe. Well, that means that 11 of the 12 people were getting the card in the wrong month. But one out of 12 was flattered as heck that he remembered their birthday. The ones who he got it wrong, you know, I'm not in July, I'm in January, they'd call him. And he'd laugh. I said, oh my gosh, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know about the new Ford? Do you know about the new convertible we just got in? He had all these people who he got their birthdays wrong calling him to say, hey, you got it wrong, and starting a conversation about the next cars. Right there, it's called, the book was How to Sell Anybody Anything by Joe Girard. How to Sell Anybody Anything. Brilliant, brilliant book. Much better than taking, you know, 4-day sales training off campus with big binders and PowerPoints. You don't need that. You just need Joe Girard's book, How to Sell Anybody Anything. Man sold more individual cars in 1 year than any other human being before or since. But now you're engaged. And she's planning the wedding because she's had an Instagram board about weddings since she was 8. You, a guy, at your wedding, at the age of 8, did you think about your wedding? No. You didn't think about it at all. You're still not thinking about it, even though you're engaged. Now you're married. And this all came to me in a vision this morning. It all came to me in a vision this morning. I was standing over the sink, and I was watching the disposal work. And I was listening for those special sounds that a disposal makes. When it's happy, it just hums. If it makes extra noise, that means you've left the spoon in there again, and your wife's going to be annoyed. It's a good silver. How could you leave it in the garbage disposal? You left the good silver in there. And I'm looking out over the driveway and the backyard and the empty bird feeders, and I'm listening to my garbage disposal. And I'm in the suburbs. Why am I in the suburbs? Because I'm married. No single man moves to the suburbs. My life is like the garbage disposal, with all of the periphery and effluence flushing down the drain, seconds and seconds of my life gone because I got married. That's the only reason I'm in the suburbs, listening for good news from my garbage disposal. No man wants to move to the suburbs. Good evening. We have a lot for you tonight. We have strippers on the loose, fresh news from Walmart. Plus, coming up in seconds, there's a reason, if you're not going to go to work, there's a reason. Oh, and tomorrow's a three-day holiday, so no one's going to work. Okay, so you're not going to work tomorrow. But the reason that sometimes when you get into bed and stare at the ceiling for long periods of time is because of money. And I have a very good friend named Jared Dillian. And Jared, like all of my friends, is a contrarian. Jared doesn't think you should worry about money. And Jared doesn't think you can save your way to wealth. What Jared believes is contrary to the sleazoid advice that we often get on the radio about, cut out lattes. Yeah, then you'll be rich. No more lattes. You'll be doing fine. But Jared has a much better idea. He is not a get-rich-quick guy, but he's really smart about why you and I should never stare at the ceiling at this hour wondering about money. There's no reason to. And he's going to explain that to you and me coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. Now, I want you to join me on the French Riviera. Is this a horrible request? Of course not. In October, my wife and I, who dragged me to the suburbs, is going to go to the French Riviera, and we'd like you to join us on a small batch group vacation. Not a big busload thing, not a big tourist thing. No. This is an elite small batch vacation with Midnight Misfits. Colette Travel has put together a special package just for you and me. They heard the show. They said, well, this is a great show. We'd like to be. He's always complaining about wanting to get back to the French Riviera. We could put together a trip like that. And they put together a trip like that. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. Right at the top of the homepage, there's a picture of the French Riviera. You click on it and you get all the information. Or if you would like me to personally address an envelope to you and put all the information in it, not some bulky brochure. They made a beautiful custom brochure for Sterling on Sunday Misfits. All you have to do is send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and include your real home address. And I will personally address that envelope and stuff it and mail it to you with a lovely, charming note in my left-handed scrawl. Would you like that? Let me do that for you. Send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Just say I want the brochure. Give me your real mailing address. Nobody else will get it except me, and I lose everything. So you don't have anything to worry about. You and I are going to go to the French Riviera this October. Wouldn't that be great? The weather's mild. Art museums, wine tastings, Princess Grace in the casino at Monte Carlo. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
All right, good evening. Walter M. Sterling, very excited to be with you. Driving the 18-wheeler across the country, north and south, I want to know, are you going to stop driving into New York City as many truckers have threatened because of the nonsense against Donald Trump? Plus, in just seconds, Jared Dillian, the author of the Daily Dirt Nap, a market newsletter for investment professionals, is going to share why you and I just don't need to worry about money. That's in seconds. Weather, Dr. Dave.
On Sunday, coming up,
the return of San Antonio's famous noseless stripper. Details later, strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of a corrupt NYPD member who got fired and turned up later in a precinct cell area with a gun in his car. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Basic humanity gets Grandpa clipped in the parking lot. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
What are you doing? Isn't it obvious? I'm trying to seduce you.
Why?
Because I want to.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
All right, there's Jared Dillian. He's the author of The Daily Dirt Nap, a market newsletter for investment professionals. And when they say investment professionals, that means it's a very expensive newsletter. He has degrees in mathematics, finance, things that you and I don't. And writing, Jared was a trader. Jared was a trader for Lehman Brothers from 2001 to 2008. He's also been on Bloomberg a lot. But Jared doesn't think that you and I should be worrying about money. And I want to ask him a couple questions about that. But first, Jared, this bizarro world financial decision by a single judge in Manhattan strikes me as very bad for business and very bad for New York businesses because it's like, wait a minute. Okay, so there were no victims. Nobody complained. Everybody got their money. And they threw a $400 million fine at the defendant, Donald Trump. What do you feel about this verdict?
Well, I mean, it's clear that it's politically motivated, and I think the goal is to deplete Trump's campaign funds ahead of the election. I think it's nothing else than that. I mean, the activity involved, you know, I suppose if Trump is guilty of it, is fraudulent, but like you said, the bank made money off the loans. There were no victims. Nobody cared.
Well, plus, as anybody who's tried to get a mortgage to buy a house knows, even in that small transaction, you have to present two independent appraisals. You have to hire two independent appraisals to appraise the property, appraise the land. You have to get an engineer to look at the structure of the house, a structural engineer to attest to the integrity of the house. And then the bank itself will send a couple guys around to look at your numbers and to look at the house. It almost doesn't matter what you say you own or how much you think the properties are worth. The fiduciary responsibility of the banks, the mortgage companies, is to check. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's on the lender to make these determinations, you know, as to, you know, to perform an appraisal of, you know, the value of Trump's businesses and stuff like that. And if they did do an appraisal and they were satisfied with the results, then they made the loan and, you know, nobody was harmed.
One of the things that I like that keeps coming up is the value of Trump Tower, except for the fact that he didn't go for financing for Trump Tower because he doesn't own it. The only thing he owns there is that apartment, the triplex. That's all he owns. He doesn't own that tower anymore. He lost that a long time ago. All right, Jared Dillian, help us out. Right about now, millions of Midnight Misfits are trying to get to sleep and they're worried about money. And a lot of it, you say, has to do with frame of mind, the frame of mind about money. And the thing I find most intriguing that you have written about is that we need to get on the abundance trail. We need to get on the road of abundance and focus on that rather than debt. How do you do that, Jared?
Right. So I had a book come out a couple weeks ago. It's called No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. And typically, the advice you get from the Dave Ramseys of the world, the Susie Ormans of the world, is that you have a pie, and the pie represents your assets. And in order to make all your expenses work, you have to slice and dice this pie into smaller and smaller pieces, right? So you have to aggressively cut expenses. You have to live this life of asceticism. And ultimately, you can just go out and make more pie. That's the part that nobody talks about. There's lots of things that you can do to make more money. There are millions of people in this country with intractable financial problems. They are in debt up to their eyeballs. They have student loans. They have mortgages that are too big. And a lot of times in these cases, cutting expenses to the bone isn't going to be sufficient to solve the problem. You have to look for ways to make more revenue. And the interesting thing about this is that making more revenue is a lot more fun than cutting expenses.
So much of what you talk about in terms of especially increased revenue, there's a component of luck involved. And I love the story about how you got one of your first jobs by being in the right place at the right time and being ready to accept the luck. How do you put yourself in the right place? Tell them what you did.
Well, I have a saying which has gotten quite popular, and that saying is luck will never find you in your apartment. Right. There's sitting in your apartment and wishing that something good will happen to you will never happen. I'll tell you a quick story about Madonna. OK, Madonna, when she was 18 years old, moved to New York City and she didn't have a plan, but she was going to do one thing. She was going to dress up in her sexy clothes and walk around New York City until somebody noticed her. So that's what she did for a couple of days. She walked miles and miles and miles up and down the street, and she walked until she got noticed. And the lesson here is that luck will never find you in your apartment. You have to go out and do stuff. If there is a conference, I always go to the conference. If there is a party, I always go to the party. I always go to where other people are because that's where there's synergies and you can find opportunities.
And specifically, tell that story of how you got that job. What were you doing at that moment where you got your breakthrough job?
Well, I was going to business school at the University of San Francisco, and I went to the Career Center, and they had a binder full of graduates who had jobs in the financial industry. So there was a guy who was working on the Pacific Coast Options Exchange. So I looked him up and I called him and I visited him down in the trading floor. Now, this is 1999. You know, an open outcry trading floor is a very astonishing place. There's people yelling and throwing paper and stuff like that. So he gives me a tour of the trading floor. And after he's done, I say, do you mind if I hang around and just check things out? So as I was standing there, somebody threw a water bottle towards the trash can. It almost hit me in the head. And then the guy looks at me standing there and he says, hey, are you looking for a job? And I said, yeah. And he says, okay, I'm going to introduce you to a guy. Walk over there, shake his hand, take his business card, and call him the next day. So he introduced me to this guy, took his business card. I called him the next day. I set up an interview the following week. I aced the interview, and that's how I got my first job on Wall Street, because I almost got hit by a water bottle.
It's true of most people who work in radio, by the way. They're 15, 16, and they hang around a radio station until somebody says, hey, do this. That's how like 90% of the people in radio make their luck. Now, one of the things you don't believe in is saving your way to wealth. You don't believe it's possible to cut out lattes and wind up with a mansion.
Yeah, so what I found is the other piece of advice that the Dave Ramseys of the world give to people is that it's the little things that matter, such as if you don't buy coffee, if you don't go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and buy coffee, and the $4 you save every day and you add it up over the course of a year, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, and you invest it, then you can retire. The math doesn't check out. That doesn't make any sense. It's not the little things that matter. It's the big things. It's the house. It's how big of a house do you live in? How expensive of a car do you drive? And how much do you owe in student loans? If you get those three things right, then you don't have to worry about the coffee.
This is Jared Dillian. He's a great friend of the show. I have tremendous respect for Jared. Jared also doesn't believe in showing off. When you have the money, do you buy an expensive car or not?
Well, I mean, look, I think you have an obligation to live at your means, not below your means, not above your means, but at your means. So if you're doing well, if you're a dentist and you're making $400,000 a year, then I think it's perfectly acceptable to buy an $80,000 BMW X5. I think that's fine. I don't think that's okay if you're making $80,000 a year. And I think if you're making, you know, $5 million a year, then it's perfectly acceptable to buy some sort of supercar. I think it is good to live at your means. There are some people, I have a friend who makes a whole bunch of money, multiple seven figures a year, and his car is a 16-year-old Chrysler Sebring that he bought used that smells like cigarette smoke. That's not the way to do it. He's living far below his means.
Jared Dillian, author of No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. It's a short book. It is a pithy book. It's filled with actionable ideas that I urge you to get. I read this yesterday and today. It was a good time, Jared. No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. The book is called No Worries, and it's by Jared Dillian, D-I-L-L-I-A-N. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
There's, oh my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get, do we have a bulletin? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so relieved. I feel so much better now.
Sterling on Sunday with Keith Fons, our correspondent at Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska. Keith, you want us to participate in a GoFundMe page, to pay for, and I've never heard this before, for a tombstone. There was a young man in your community who was murdered, disappeared for days, murdered. What's his name? What is it that you're trying to raise? How much is a tombstone?
Well, his name is Tullen, and back in September, he ended up coming up missing, and then the whole community came out, and we searched and searched, and about a week later, they ended up bringing K-9 unit out, and they ended up finding him in 3 feet of water in a gravel pit. It's still under investigation, but I found out recently that, you know, the community came together, we helped fundraise to get him a proper funeral because, you know, no parent should ever have to bury their kid. And then last week I found out that the family couldn't afford a tombstone, a headstone is what a lot of people call it. And so I decided to do another crowdfunding campaign to get enough money to get this young man a tombstone, and it's going to cost anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 to get it.
What's the name of the GoFundMe page?
Tallinn's Tombstone. It's also on my Facebook page. We are doing a GoFundMe, but we are also doing Cash App, so we have two different options that people can help contribute.
You're going to have to spell that kid's first name.
T-A-L-E-N, and then now, Tombstone.
Yeah, I know how to spell Tombstone. He was 17.
Yes, sir.
And a good kid.
Yeah, everybody, he worked here locally at, you know, a fast food place, and everybody that's ever had contact with him, you know, always left with a smile on his face. He would always make sure that anybody he came in contact with left happy, happier than when they came in there.
And for days, he disappeared. and no one knew, and they haven't linked his death to anybody. There's no gang involvement, no terrible people. Nobody's claimed this death, right? This appears to have been an accident.
Well, that's the thing is, he disappeared, and we looked and looked, and we looked on foot. We looked on ATV. People went out with horses. And where they ended up finding him was right in the middle of where everybody searched for 5 days. So it just doesn't make sense. And the fact that the family doesn't have answers and it's still under investigation by the high crime unit here locally out of Fairbanks, and the fact that almost 5 months later it's still being investigated, you know, when is right, the family going to get some closure?
Right, and that's a family that cannot afford their son's gravestone. And what's the name of the FundMe page again?
Tallinn's Tombstone.
Tallinn's Tombstone. That's your good deed, Keith Fonz. Keith Fonz is our representative in Fairbanks, Alaska. He reports on the North Pole. There's no other live radio show in America that pays any attention to Alaska. Give us a lot of credit, please. All right. Thank you, Keith Fonz. It's 58 past the hour. And coming up, you and I are going to hear the most incredible story of how a financial columnist got conned by a finance guy. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
The press release, Trump-loving truckers refusing to drive to New York City after his $355 million fraud ruling. Chicago Ray, an influencer and trucker, saying he's never going to go back into Manhattan again, and he's leading a charge of other truckers to never go back into Manhattan again. And you know what? It's not going to hold up. Good idea. I don't believe one trucker is going to skip a run into Manhattan because of that. My number is 888-688-9258. Dr. Dave.
On Sunday, coming up.
The return of San Antonio's famous noseless stripper. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of a corrupt NYPD member who got fired and turned up later in a precinct cell area with a gun in his car. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Basic humanity gets Grandpa clipped in the parking lot. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. W-A-L-T.
A nom de plume. Authors have it. Sometimes radio hosts have it. And strippers as well. We told you the story about Tekla, well-known San Antonio stripper, whose boyfriend David got a little ticked and bit off part of her nose. Well, a stripper got arrested inside her apartment in San Antonio. $1.3 million worth of cocaine. An exotic dancer in the stripping arts needs a side hustle for extra money. You know, Biden's economy is not helping anyone. Inflation gets us all. Giselle Cabrera Rodriguez picked up. No news on whether she's the noseless stripper, but we can only hope. Apparently, this cartel cutie was busy making sure people got their cocaine at strip clubs in San Antonio. A helpful hint that you probably need to keep in mind if you hadn't realized it yet. Most emporiums of the art of the striptease are backed one way or another by organized crime. It could be the cartel, it could be a gang, it could be the mob, but most of them have at least some connection. While the stripper may tell you that she's hoping to become a veterinarian, she probably is trying to figure out how to deal more cocaine. If Giselle is the wonderful noseless stripper, Tekla, when she gets out of jail, hopefully she pined away enough money to get that nose repaired. From the champagne room, this is Velo Houle. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
All right, it's Sterling at night. Sterling on Sunday. Welcome to the Big Giant Radio Show. Welcome to KDKA in Pittsburgh, America's first and one of America's best radio stations. Dave Labrosi threatens to retire. I think that's a really bad idea, Dave. They need you. The industry needs you. And I wish you a peaceful retirement. All right. And Dave Labrosi has been such a good business friend to me. And I appreciate that, Dave. You've done a lot of good things for me in New York and in Pittsburgh. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, the Trump-loving truckers are refusing to drive to New York City after his $350 million fraud ruling. A conservative social media influencer and trucker who goes by the name of Chicago Ray posted a video clip in which he claims that some of his colleagues are going to stop making deliveries to New York City to protest the ruling. Quote, I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the past hour, and I've talked to about 10 drivers. Unbelievable number. And they're going to start refusing loads to New York City starting Monday. Well, Monday is a federal holiday. I don't think any of them are going to turn down a load. I don't think any of them are going to turn down a run. And I think it is a PR stunt. I think somebody put out a press release. All the papers picked it up. Not going to happen. You'd know better. You're driving an 18-wheeler. But there's no way this is going to happen because what? They're going to lose that income? Yes, it's a pain to drive into Manhattan. This is not the excuse you need. The jobs are plentiful, but that doesn't mean you can turn down work. I'll bet you truckers get a premium to drive into Manhattan, and they have work rules set by the federal government that are insane. They might arrive in the middle of Manhattan at 8:15 in the morning, and then they have to not drive for an hour. And find a place to park that truck. Good luck. But I don't believe any trucker is not going to drive into New York City. They're not going to take a load into New York City in support of President Trump. I don't think that's going to happen. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This Chicago Charlie, or whatever his name is, he talked to a whopping sample of 10 truckers. And they all agree with him. What are they going to do? Disagree with him? They're not going to. Yeah, that's a good idea, Charlie. Terrific. You got a sandwich there? Hey, Stella, you got a beer? Give me a beer. I was talking to Charlie. He's done now. Oh, disconnect. And there's no way. That's what the headline says. Trump-loving truckers refusing to drive into New York City after his $355 million fraud ruling, which he will never have to pay. It will win an appeal in 2 seconds. There were no victims. Nobody was harmed. No, the taxpayers weren't robbed at all. There was no federal or city money involved. And the banks and the insurance companies were perfectly happy. It's the wackiest lawsuit ever imagined. Based on a law that was created, 100 years ago and has never been used. This is the first time anybody's been tried under the wacky law, which is meant for, like, con artists. That's what it's really meant for. It's, like, meant for con artists. Or my much better, really interesting story of the week that I must share with you. Because, you know, this is a morning show at midnight. Hold on. I will find this for you. Ruffling of paper, ASMR, ASMR. You know, those modern... Oh, I got to talk to you about that. I've got so much to talk to you about. I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. Here it is. New York Magazine. Their financial columnist, Charlotte Cowles, was scammed out of $50,000. Have you gotten these calls from Social Security or the IRS with a very big voice saying, do not hang up. This is an emergency. This is very serious. We are the Social Security Administration. And we are investigating Social Security fraud. Or Amazon sends you an email or a call. We're Amazon. We're investigating money laundering in your account. It shows that you bought a $1,000 sofa and a $2,000 home TV unit and a car. And we think it's money laundering. The Federal Trade Commission is exploring it right now and studying it. And what do? You hang up. Somebody sends you an email saying, we've been recording you. We've been recording you. We've been recording you looking at this porn site and doing this act, and we'll have no choice but to release it to everybody you've ever met if you don't send us $4,000 in Bitcoin right now. Here's the Bitcoin address. Oh, my gosh. And you hang up, and you disconnect, and you delete. But the financial columnist for New York Magazine did not hang up. She did not delete. What she did is insane. And I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this radio show is Live Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday night football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
All right, we're live. Scammers pretending to be everyone from Amazon representatives to a CIA agent duped Charlotte Cowles. Now, she was the finance writer for New York Magazine, the money writer. Now, she admitted in a column this week how she put $50,000 in a shoebox and handed it to a stranger. A mystifying tale that explained how a scheme involving fake Amazon, Federal Trade Commission, and CIA agents led Cal to believe she was under investigation for money laundering. To survive the imminent freezing of her assets, that's what they said, we're going to have to freeze your assets, and Social Security number. While she was under investigation, she wrote, the schemers told her to withdraw $50,000 from her bank account, and she would then deliver the money to an agent who would take it to the Treasury Department, which would then mail her a check for that amount. In what scenario would that prove there wasn't money laundering? Where in that wacky scheme would it be able to prove there was no money laundering, or to prove that she was guilty of money laundering? She had a husband. She did not ask her husband about this. It was his money, too. Her father is a lawyer. Her brother is a lawyer, and it didn't occur to her to mention that she was going to take her life savings, $50,000, and send it to some guy, some CIA agent who was going to communicate with the FTC, who was basing this based on Amazon behaviors. But I know people like this, and I bet you do too. The slightest street smart, the slightest savvy, the slightest New Jersey, Chicago smarts would immediately go, this is stupid. This makes no sense. I'm not doing anything, and hang up and never talk to them again. Block their calls, block their emails, right? But you know people like this. This is a person who writes for New York Magazine, a very arrogant and Tony magazine, if there ever was one, with a very Manhattan point of view of the world, and oddly protected. You might think, gee, if they live in New York City, they must be street smarts. No. No. Many professionals who work in Manhattan are the opposite of street smart, because they run into their Uber, then they run from their Uber to their doorman building. Their whole world is hermetically sealed. They don't deal with street urchins, homeless people. They don't deal with scams and nastiness. They don't play three-card Monty in Tribeca. They don't do speed chess in Greenwich Village. They live a hermetically sealed life. It just happens to be in Manhattan. And because she's a writer for New York Magazine, she both feels exposed. She has a name out there, and these people knew she had a kid. These people said, oh, yes, we know your kid's playing in the living room right now. We are watching your house. It was probably some bum walking by the apartment, or not, who just had a lucky guess, or might have really said, I bet your kid will be playing in the living room later today. Probably a lucky guess. But you and I would know not to get near that. But believe it or not, you know people like this who are at a point in life where they feel safe and they don't really have to deal with anything. If you are the writer for New York Magazine, let me tell you about your day. You wake up when you want. You get in an Uber. You go out of your doorman building. You get in an Uber. You go to wherever New York Magazine lives now. It was always moving. And that's how you know a troubled business. It's always moving. You sit at lunch, and then one of two things happen at lunch. Either you call for delivery of your lunch, so you don't have to go out on the street again. There's delivery. One of the things I miss most about living in Manhattan is every single thing in Manhattan is delivered 24 hours a day. Hardware stores are open 24 hours a day, and they deliver in Manhattan. But she's not going to go out for lunch. She's going to call for lunch, and it will be delivered to the reception desk. She won't even have to see the guy delivering it. Then they will bring it to her desk. A secretary, an assistant, an intern, most likely an intern, will bring it to her desk, right? Then, if she has to go out for lunch, it's a business lunch. She'll be meeting somebody at Michael's or La Côte Basque or the Ritz-Carlton lunchroom, the Ritz-Carlton dining room, the Peninsula dining room. That's where she'll be going. Again, in an Uber or maybe one block. At the end of the day, she goes downstairs, she gets in an Uber, the Uber takes her to her apartment building with the doorman. She leads the most isolated, protected, privileged life there is. And her father's a lawyer. I'm protected. My father's a lawyer. I'm a lawyer's daughter. I'm a lawyer's daughter. I know all about the law. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. Does she own a car? No. Does she know the price of gas? No. But she knows at Food Emporium in Manhattan, a gallon of milk is $6.95. No, not the fancy milk, just the normal milk, $6.95. My milk, Walmart, $2.15. Maybe $2.19. But hers is over $6. But if you said to her, how much is the milk? She wouldn't know. If you don't know the price of milk, you are ready to be scammed. If you don't know the price of milk or butter or eggs, also $2.25 at Walmart, you're going to be scammed. And that's who this is. This Charlotte Cowles was scammed out of $50,000. By somebody calling up, pretending to be from Amazon, money laundering. We have to protect it. We're going to send, she fell for this. We're going to send your cash to the FTC and they will cut you a check. Oh, yeah. And that'll prove what? If that was true, what would that prove? But of course, it's not true. And she was the financial writer for New York Magazine. Unbelievable. 888-688-WALT. We're going to have a report from Las Vegas coming up in seconds on KXNT in Las Vegas. Las Vegas's dominant radio station, and I want to stay in touch with you, but most importantly, I want you to join me on a trip to the French Riviera. The French Riviera, Nice, Cannes, Saint-Tropez, Monte Carlo, the incredible casino at Monte Carlo, the James Bond casino. You have to see it. It's on your bucket list. Going to the French Riviera has been on your bucket list all your life. It's time to take it off that list and give me a chance to do something that I really want to do, which is to return to the French Riviera where I got engaged 22 freaking years ago and to spend time with you. Midnight Misfits. This is a special small batch group vacation put together by Colette Travel. Check them out. This is a premium travel service. Heard the show, loved the show, and has put together an exclusive trip for you and me to the French Riviera this October. Plenty of time. Very few seats, very few slots. Take advantage of it. Get in now. Here's what you do. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. Right at the top of the homepage, there's a picture of the French Riviera. Click on it. You'll get all the information. If you want my personal touch, I'll be happy to send you the brochure, which is made just for Midnight Misfits. Just for Midnight Misfits. send an email to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send your real mailing address, and then I can handwrite it myself, no kidding, stuff the envelope, write you a personal note, and then you can decide when you're going to come. This is what you want to do. This is the bucket list trip that you deserve, you have earned. Look at all the things you do for other people. Time to do something for you. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You look at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Good evening, Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, an exclusive report from KXNT in Las Vegas about Facebook Marketplace. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of a corrupt NYPD member who got fired and turned up later in a precinct cell area with a gun in his car. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Basic humanity gets Grandpa clipped in the parking lot. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
You know what the difference is between you and me, Violet?
No.
Me neither.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Yes, I have a vanity phone number. Why? 888-688-9258. Barney, are you the Barney who used to live next door to me? Are you the Barney who lived next door to me?
Yeah.
And what are you doing now? Yeah, I remember you. You don't live next door anymore. Where are you, Barney?
I'm driving across the country and I hit the wrong button, and there you were on a radio.
It's amazing being on so many 50,000-watt clear-channel stations like WPHT, KDKA, KMOX. Yes, we cover the KFBK. Yes, we cover the country. It's astonishing how many gatekeepers were asleep at the switch. Barney, do you have questions about the show, Barney?
Well, I want to tell you, do you want to know how you disappointed me?
Yes.
Well, I'm listening to the talk about you're going to do lesbians in the air and all that stuff, you know, on the 7th. So I went to your website, and there were no pictures. What do you have a website for with no pictures?
Do you have favorite lesbians whose pictures I should put up there? You can request the pictures.
Well, I don't have any of my own, but I can call some people and get them to you.
Well, that's a very good idea.
I would do that for you.
That's a good idea.
Can I tell you something else?
Tell me everything.
Another suggestion for you.
Yes.
Another suggestion for you. You know, this is a new day and age. And lesbians also have to associate, I'm going to use good words here, associate with people in a different manner. So a lot of lesbians wear jockstraps now.
How do you know that? He disconnected. I asked a follow-up question. He's gone? That's not the neighbor I knew. Well, he might call back. Kendall Toby at KXNT Land in Las Vegas. She had a premium job and a nice life in Sacramento, and she decided to throw that all away and move to the desert. Kendall, I understand you made a purchase this week of which you are proud.
Hey, yes. Yes, I'm very, very proud. I made my very first Las Vegas Facebook Marketplace transaction. I'm so excited. I got some really unique red retro diner booths, and I love them so much. I've always loved booths, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'd never used Facebook Marketplace like that before.
I had I saw the booth that you got on Facebook Marketplace. I had the identical model. I'll put it on Facebook, actually. I had the identical model in gray and white and yellow and white. And the reason that we have neither of them anymore is the cats. The cats went right for those. That was their scratching post the minute we left the house, because not only does it have that vinyl on top that they like to pull, but once they get past the vinyl, mm-hmm. they get to wooden planks that hold it together.
It's a perfect cat scratch post.
It is a perfect cat scratch post. Do you have a cat?
I do have two cats, but they've not been around it so far, but my dogs have seen it. And the first thing my little Chinese crested did was jump right on it. And I thought, oh no, they're going to get all scratched up.
And then you have the challenge of trying to repair vinyl, which is a special mm-hmm. challenge. But my body was built for Brooks Brothers and Booths. I am built for Booths, both because I'm from New Jersey, where we were trained from a young age to only eat in Booths and to demand the biggest booth in the diner just because. But the fact is, that's really the only place I'm comfortable, except the front seat of a 1962 Sedan DeVille.
No, I agree. I'm the same way. Anytime I go to a restaurant, I'm always looking for the booth. And I love that I have these booths now, because I feel like I don't ever even have to leave the house now. I can just have that really cool retro diner vibe right in the kitchen. I love it.
One of the great things, and why you're so smart to get the booth, is booths are one of those things that most people, it never occurs to them that they could get it for their home. They view it as a mm-hmm. restaurant supply item. You know, how would I buy it? But the booth you bought and that I bought was, in fact, quite reasonable, even brand new. And I'm sure it was like for free on Marketplace. How much you pay for that?
Well, I did pay $400. So it was $200 each booth, and I got the set.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a great price, and I love that I'm finding all of these unique things, these unique furniture pieces on Facebook Marketplace, because a lot of them I'm seeing, they're coming from casinos and hotels, and they're really, really unique and funky and cool.
You know, that's the best thing about living in Vegas, isn't it? There's always such turnover in restaurant businesses. There's always new hotel room renovations. There's tons of stuff like that. That is really cool. What else have you seen there?
Well, I've seen lots of different like mid-century items. I've seen lots of like chandeliers, rhinestones, lots of blingy kind of stuff, typical things that you would see for Las Vegas. I've also seen some neon signs, which is really, really cool. And if you guys ever make it to Las Vegas, you have to check out the Neon Sign Museum. It's really cool. It's where they've put all of the old signage, and they've got like the Stardust sign there. And I really love neon signs too. That's one that I'm always looking for on the Facebook Marketplace.
What's interesting about neon, and it's hard to realize, is neon never dissipates. It never wears out. That neon will last forever. When you see flickering neon or a light that's out, it's because of the transformer powering that bulb. But that bulb never dissipates. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. Well, all right, so you're enjoying your life in Vegas, Kendall. Do you have any other news? Do you have other news for us?
Well, it's been we've been wrapping up here in town from the Super Bowl, so they've started taking down all the Super Bowl signage, and there's we still have a lot of Lunar New Year of the Dragon decorations everywhere. You're going to see dragons everywhere, and so that's been really cool. And I'm just wondering, Walter, I'm wearing a sports bra right now, so does that make me a lesbian?
Well, it makes you a suspect, and But what I wanted to ask you about, speaking of lesbians, is do you think that Taylor Swift's relationship with that pig football player, do you think that's real or transactional?
You know, it seems real to me. it's interesting because there's so many different conspiracies. People think that it is, like you said, they think that it might not be real. I've heard so many different things about Taylor Swift.
But what do you think about the relationship? This isn't a news show. I don't care about multiple sources. What do you think about?
It seems real to me.
All right. Well, Kendall Toby has certified that Taylor Swift's relationship with the pig football player is real. Kendall, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I hope you'll be on next week with yet another report about your life in Las Vegas, a life that we're all jealous of. 47 past the hour coming up. News from Walmart in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by pilot error.
Keep us out over the lake, south of the city for now at 3,000 feet. But I'm not sure we're going to maintain 3,000 very easy.
Gramps, Grandpa, 59-year-old Jonathan Mock got in a little fender bender at the Walmart, SoCal. He did what any honorable person should do. Apologize and say, how can he help? Jonathan, a man of conscience, a man of good, basic character, felt remorseful and sad. Shantice Marie Norton, apparently a boyfriend, a brother, uncle, cousin, gets out of the car that Mr. Mock hit and gunned him down. We have lost our ever-loving mind. By the way, parking lots are known for small little fender benders. You have cars going left and right. You'll see somebody driving the wrong way down an aisle. I mean, it is just craziness that goes on in a parking lot, especially of a Walmart. Did you know that Walmart is the largest revenue billing company in the world? Bigger than anybody else. There's no other company like Walmart. Not Walmart's fault that this poor and wonderful man got clipped over a minor fender bender. If you get into a car accident in the Walmart parking lot and the people seem PO'd, stay in your car and dial 911. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Oh, look at that. This is a live radio show. There's nothing else like it on the radio right now, is there? Coast to coast, a live show that doesn't scream at the Democrats, doesn't talk about politics, it talks about my day. And I welcome WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM out of Atlantic City, with Harry Hurley in the morning, a great host and a good guy. And when I said to him, thank you for having Sterling on Sunday on WPG, I really appreciate it. Thank you for having us on. He said, I would be crazy not to have it on. And that's the right answer. That's what Dan Gaffney says at Delaware 105.9. I could rattle down this list of affiliates, but it would leave you breathtaking. Now, there are some radio stations in America that when I've contacted them or my team has contacted them, and I've said, you know, you should air this show. It's a live show on Sunday night. Wouldn't that be great? They say to me, oh, no, we not only do we not want a live show, we want a very dead show. I'm like, what do you mean? We air Art Bell. I'm like, you what? Yeah, we air Art Bell reruns. Now, Art Bell was a talk show host who talked about UFOs and was very good at it. Over 20 years ago, he died. And yet they keep running Art Bell repeats where they don't edit them. You'll hear an Art Bell repeat on the air today saying things like, well, this morning on CNN, I saw this story. And then he reads a story from 22 years ago that he saw on CNN. Nobody thought to edit that out. Might be a good idea to edit that out. You know, big time broadcasters. Well, we're very serious broadcasters. You know, your show's a little frivolous. Really? How is it more frivolous or irresponsible than airing a show from 22 years ago by a dead man and not calling it the CBS Mystery Theater? Why are you doing what? And they can live with themselves. My curse in life is that I could never live with myself doing that. I've always searched every single show, every single station I've worked with, every single media company I've worked with for new things. How can we do something new? Because if you don't innovate, you're dead. The minute a business doesn't seek innovation, constantly challenging what they're doing, what could be better, what could be better, how could we improve this, how can we be disruptive? If a business doesn't do that, that business is already dead. It is being eaten away by their competition who is innovating or just doing something different and attracting a crowd of people. The most stunning award I have ever seen in the broadcasting industry is in Australia. Every year, the commercial broadcasters of Australia have a big formal dinner, tuxedos, everybody looks great. I attended one once. It was an honor. It was an honor to be at the Commercial Broadcasters of Australia award dinner. They have one each year. They have categories that I would give anything for American radio award ceremonies to have. They have a category called Best New Talent. Like what? Best New Talent. Large market, medium market, small market. They have a category called Best New Executive. Small, medium, and large market. There's no award in the radio industry that celebrates the new. I have put on many new formats. Some of them don't work, but most of them do. And every year I'd sit there going, well, I'd like to apply for this National Association of Broadcaster Award for this station, but they don't have new. I have a format here that doesn't fit any of these categories. How about a category for best new format? Oh, my gosh. The chorus that I hear whenever I've tried to put something new on the radio, and I usually do get the stuff on the radio because I know how to sell. I usually do get the new stuff on the radio, but usually the response from the peanut gallery is, ready, ready, it won't work. It will never work. How could it ever work? Where has it been done before? Where has it been done before? That's what most radio executives will say to a new idea. Whereas when I was brought new ideas when I was an executive, I'd always look and say, wow, that's a great new idea. I hope no one else is doing it. No one else is doing it, Walter. Great. Let's try that. That should be the standard operating answer in any creative industry, in any industry where us humans have to make up something to try to make it work. The question from the boss should always be, I hope no one else is doing it.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to have our very prestigious UFO report, plus you. 888-688-9258. Good evening. Now, Dr. Dave with your weather.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Well, did you? I mean, I know why you like me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did.
Well, I like you right back, Emma.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Alien life with benefits. Dave Scott, it seems to me that on your Canadian show, you should be featuring lesbians in space. The reason we have lesbians in space who wear sports bras is the research is very clear. At midnight on the East Coast, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, the only thing people want to hear is sports news, sex, and UFOs. We've combined them all into one beautiful package, lesbians in space who wear sports bras. Now, Dave, can you top that?
Yes. Oh, how do you top that?
I don't know. Pause for a moment and express humility and then do your best.
I would say that if we're going to top that, it would have to include brass poles inside UFOs.
Very good. Very good. I am proud of you. Now, have you seen these news reports this week about NASA discovered asteroids with a tremendous amount of water in them and are fascinated by the amount of water in the asteroids? Have you heard that news story?
I have heard that news story. Isn't it amazing, Walt, how they can find all of these weird minerals and water and gold and everything that this planet needs, which we already have enough of, but we can't find any alien life out there?
I believe that alien life was found in 1948 and that Harry Truman knew what that would do to the balance of power in America and around the world, that all of a sudden presidents, kings, dictators would become jokes because these people who came from a billion miles away, they have different ideas. And then he did what he had to do to either make a deal with them to shut them up or to delay their announcement by 200 years. Some deal was made by Harry Truman. That's what I believe.
Well, I'll take it one step further. I'm not sure if you've ever heard this conspiracy theory, but in President Eisenhower's tenure in the White House, he traveled to Palm Springs for a charity golf tournament and then disappeared for 24 hours. The media, who follows the president around, thought that he had died. Now, the official excuse was that he was rushed to Beverly Hills from Northern California in order to get a tooth repaired, that he was having a toothache. However, the story goes, he went over to Holloman Air Force Base, where he met with two alien species. One said, hey, we don't want any nuclear weapons. We want to help you save this planet, have longevity in life, and give you guys, you little peon earthlings, you youngsters on the road, anything that you want. We'll give you the technology to advance and enjoy life for the rest of your life, but no nukes. And in the middle of the Cold War, Eisenhower apparently, according to legend, said, no, we got the Russians. We can't take that chance. We got the Russians, and we don't know what they're going to do. We're in the middle of the Cold War. Another alien species says to him, hey, we don't care about the nukes. I'll tell you what. You give us some people to study, and we will take those people in trade for technology. You can do whatever you want. Just give us some people. And here's the funny part, Walt. Apparently that number was around 60 to 65,000 people a year. You know, in America, 1.3 million people on average a year go missing. And when you take away everything from kids running away to adults running away, changing identities, suicide, murder, everything, the FBI cannot account for 65,000 people annually.
Well, those are people who owe too much money to MasterCard, and they ghosted themselves. I think that's
possibly
what it is.
Possibly. Okay. Or all right, they're now, still trying to find their car extended warranty.
Now, Dave, I think that, yes, we made that deal. Somebody made a deal. I think the aliens showed up when the atomic bomb went off. But here's my other theory. The atomic bomb goes off. All those tests in Nevada, bombs exploded. Then the tests in Nevada stopped in the mid-60s. And then we started to have negotiations with the Russians to end nuclear proliferation. My hunch is this. A deal was made to get rid of the nukes. You can't have nukes. We'll give you all this technology and all of that. I believe that neither the United States nor Russia has any functioning nukes at all. That we negotiated them away with Russia. There are no functioning nukes. All we ever find are abandoned nuclear missile silos all over America. There are all these abandoned silos. One of them, believe it or not, is a B&B. They turned one of those silos into a B&B. I don't think there are any nukes that function. There have been no tests by Russia or America or any other country since 1965. Whatever might be there hasn't been tested in 60 years. I don't think there are any nukes. I just think it's something we keep rattling.
It could be. You know, I don't know if I want to take that chance, you know, and I really hope that the U.S. has some just in case, because it's going to protect us a little old Canada here. But there is a fancy rumor about this. Many ET contactees, people who've spent time on craft where they've been educated by the aliens, whatever alien species that is, they say that if a nuclear war were to ever happen, that above our sky that we could see, there's UFOs all over the place. And the minute we start hit that red button to launch the nukes, that they are going to intervene and intercept the missiles.
Consider the possibility that this deal with the aliens that has prevented us from even testing nuclear weapons and Russia from testing nuclear weapons is the reason that President Trump went to North Korea to talk to the chairman of North Korea one-on-one alone and explain to him why he had better not make any nukes or any nuke noise. And you know what? Since that trip, the chairman of North Korea has made no nuke noise.
Well, I mean, maybe he found a new barber. I'm not sure.
It's amazing to me that that guy, the chairman of North Korea, actually was raised in Switzerland. He went to school at the most expensive, prestigious boarding school in the world. That's where he spent his youth, in Switzerland. So he knew how to behave. He just decided to forget. Dave Scott, how do we get in touch with you during the week, sir?
SpacedOutRadio.com. But before you let me go, I have one question for you, Walter Sterling.
Yeah. Yes.
When are you coming on Spaced Out Radio?
Any night but Monday. Any night of the week but Monday. You pick it, I'll be there. And I have a Comrex, you know. We can do that.
Much love, my friend.
Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday, 16 past the hour. Coming up, we have Vic Ferrari, New York City retired police detective with a real cop story in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
The three of you tried to be roommates. It didn't work out, and now you're bothering us.
You're right, Your Honor.
You're right. I know I'm right. So let's deal with this quickly and expeditiously, because it's sushi day today.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I pushed you away. I didn't think you wanted to be with me.
Of course I want to be with you.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Do you want to be with me?
I do.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about a cop that I knew that had crossed over to the dark side. So in the early 90s, I worked in a precinct in the Bronx, and I was known for making a lot of stolen vehicles arrests. And there was another cop in the precinct who was very interested in what I was doing, and he would ask me tons of questions. And I didn't mind sharing the information until I found out that his family owned a couple of body shops and junkyards. Now, that doesn't make him a bad guy, but I'm of the opinion sometimes information, if it can fall into the wrong hands, is not a good thing. So I kind of kept to myself after that when he kept asking me a lot of questions. We went our separate ways. I went to one unit, and eventually he got fired, this cop, when he turned up on a wiretap trying to obtain a firearm for a convicted felon. So he got fired from the NYPD. A couple of years after that, I get transferred to the Auto Crime Division, and there's a poster in my office, and it's got this cop's face on it. It says, former MOS, member of the service, has been arrested multiple times for stealing vehicles with a tow truck. So I said, oh, wow. I said, do you guys know him? And they said, yeah, he used to be on the job. And I said, yeah, I used to work with this guy, not partners, but I knew him. So they said, yeah, he's a bad guy. So what winds up happening is a couple of years after that, I hear nothing from him. He doesn't get arrested, and I get called out to a Manhattan precinct. And what happened was a cop made an arrest where a guy owned a body shop. A customer didn't want to pay the bill or thought he was being overcharged, tried to take his vehicle out of this garage without paying, and he was assaulted. by the owner of this body shop. So I go down to the precinct and I talk to the cops and I ask them, what would you like me to do? And they said, well, could you check his car to make sure that it's not stolen? And could you also interview him since he has information on, you know, he works in the body shop industry. I said, okay, no problem. So I'm looking at this cop's arrest paperwork and the name jumps out at me. And I says, now hold on a second. I look into the cells and there's the former cop that used to work in my precinct. So he didn't see me. I back away and I go out to the car with this other cop, and the car had been vouchered. I'm looking at it, and what do I find? But in a secret hidden compartment in the car, I find a 9mm. Now, this guy is a former NYPD member. I'm guessing he doesn't have a pistol permit, and he's also got a lot of questions to be answered about what a gun is doing in the, hidden in his car. So I go into the cell area, and I tap on the cell, and he picks up his head, and he goes, hey, Vic, how are you? I said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, not bad. You know, I had a bit of a day. And I said, I can see that. I said, listen, I said, if it's okay with you, I'd like to read you your Miranda warnings, and if you'd like to talk to me. And that's when he stopped me right there. He said, Vic, I really appreciate you looking out for me. He goes, but I'm good. So that was the last time I saw that cop, and he got arrested for the gun and assaulting the guy in the garage. So you never know who you're going to run into in the NYPD. So for more NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
All right, the great Vic Ferrari. We love him. But you and I are misfits. And the interesting thing about people who are not introverts like us, extroverts, they always want to convert us. They always think we want to fit in. They always think that we want to join, that it's some basic human need to join, like this.
Graham Greene said, human nature is not black and white, but black and gray. Guys, this is how we are as humans. This is how we actually are as humans. And you're realizing that is a game changer, because it means you haven't been getting it wrong. That pull inside that was saying, oh, there has to be another way other than to squish myself into this one-dimensional, one-track version of me. It's not wrong. We're simply not given a model for the world that lets that way of being thrive. And to be clear, not only is this way of being a thing, there's a word for it. Liminal. This is my favorite word, and it describes a state of in-betweenness, like you're not quite one thing, but not quite another.
But it doesn't have to be fixed. You and I are not quite one thing, and we're not quite another thing. We're not the life of the party, we're not the number one team player, and we're not in the back of the cave not talking to anyone either. We live in between those extremes. We function in between those extremes, and we have the freedom to run to the back of the cave. We have the freedom to be in a social situation or work situation where there's team building and brainstorming and working together in collaboration, and then we can go home and hide in the cave, or we can sit in that corner of the cafeteria at work, or we can walk home rather than get in a crowded train, right? That's who we are. But the people who are extroverts and team players, and let's get out there and let's work together, they think that the only way to be happy and successful is if you and I do the same. That's our curse. Because even though you may get an extrovert to recognize that you and I are a little different, that you and I need to decompress, they're not going to accept it. They're still going to think, no, you know, you really need to try harder to get along with Joe. I don't want to get along with Joe. I don't need to get along with Joe to function. Well, it'd be good. It would be good for the organization. Never say to us, it's good for the organization. You want me to run to the hills? Tell me it's good for the organization. I have no interest in the organization. My interest in the organization is I will do my job really well. You ask me to do something, you give me something to do, and I will do it. But I don't need your applause. And that's what confuses them. That's what confuses them. That's why you and I are repulsed by HR manuals. We are repulsed by getting along rules. Everybody really needs to be nice to each other. No, I really don't. It's exhausting for me to be nice to everybody. That's what's so exhausting. There's nothing harder than to do that. Because we're introverts. And introverts derive their power and their energy and their ideas from solitude. We derive it from solitude. Extroverts, they go out into the world, they go into a crowd, into a party. At the end of the party, they feel great. I feel exhausted. I sneak out of those parties as fast as I can. And why? Doesn't he like us? No, he's just different. It's okay to be different. And I'm left-handed, and I have flat feet, and I have an accessory navicular. Do you know what an accessory navicular is? Oh, you do. You know the pain and suffering. An accessory navicular, and I don't want to give you TMI. An accessory navicular is an extra bone in your foot, above the ankle, above the arch. There's an extra bone there. And the first time my orthopedic doctor, whose name is Dr. Bones, the first time my orthopedic doctor saw it, he says, you have monkey bones. I said, what? Yes, you have monkey bones. Those are bones of a monkey. And extended my introversion, that heightened my introversion, that heightened my desire to be alone. Like, don't look at my feet. I have monkey bones. I want to send you information about going to the French Riviera together. Okay, send me an email to waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and give me your real mailing address, and I will send you a real brochure, because you're going to love this. This is the bucket list trip. This is the trip to the French Riviera. Oh, it's so expensive. No, I know what a week at the Jersey Shore costs. I know what a week in South Beach costs. I know what a week in Santa Monica costs. This cost lasts for 9 days. In the French Riviera. 9 days in the French Riviera this October. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Don't play cutie with me.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first floor story, we're going to Brevard County, where they had a change in school policies that led to a bunch of teachers getting attacked, getting punched, having stuff thrown at them, having desks flipped over. And the sheriff of Brevard County, Wayne Ivey, but a lot of people don't like the way he expressed himself. Is this too much?
They're not worried about getting in trouble. They know nothing's going to happen to them. They know they're not going to be given after-school detention. They're not going to be suspended. They're not going to be expelled. Or like in the old day, they're not going to have the cheeks of their ass torn off for not doing right in class.
I think his heart's in the right place, but there's a lot of sensitive people out there. You should know better than talk about ripping the ass cheeks off of kids. But this is a teachable moment. Parents, in case you didn't know, the sheriff was using what's called hyperbole, a rhetorical tool using exaggeration to make a point. Because literally zero people on planet Earth think Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey literally wants to tear the ass cheeks off of children. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, this one is just god-awful. It's tragic. There's a woman and her husband in their 40s. And they take in one of their grown son's friends who's having trouble getting it together. He got kicked out of his house. He can't keep a job. He's been evicted. He's homeless. So instead of letting him be homeless, they were letting him stay in the extra bedroom until he could get on his feet. He had some sort of episode while the husband was gone.
Pinellas County detectives say Doherty attacked Eaton inside her home Tuesday morning with a hatchet, leaving it protruding from her head.
You're not sure how you're going to die, but you can go ahead and rest assured that there's about a 0% chance that you are going to die with an axe protruding out of your head. Because you don't live in Viking times, you don't get in fights with people with hatchets, and you don't live in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. In the west, an upper-level low-pressure system, which has been slow to move, will direct the plume of subtropical moisture, otherwise known as an atmospheric river, into California over the next couple of days. Heavy rainfall is expected for the coastal areas, as well as inland valleys of northern and central California, and it will slowly weaken as it moves into southern California across the southwestern desert. Much of the ground is still wet from last week's rain, so flash flooding can be a distinct possibility, especially around northern LA and Santa Barbara County. 2 to 4 feet of new snow will fall in the Sierra and Shasta Mountains at higher elevations for Sacramento. A wind advisory is in effect tonight, and we've got flood watches for Sacramento, for LA, for San Diego on Tuesday through parts of Wednesday. Heavy thunderstorms are possible tomorrow or in and around Sacramento on President's Day. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
My dearest Emily Ann, I knew from the second you walked into my life that our path would lead us to this precise moment. If I had known that 8 hours of Bloody Marys and yoga pants was all that it took to catch your eye, I have attempted on numerous occasions to explain what you mean to me, but words never seem to convey or emote everything within my heart.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
This week, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations came out for 2024. And I'm looking at this list and I'm like, well, there seem to be some people who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that are not. I love that riff. The New York Dolls, Personality Crisis. What? Why aren't the New York Dolls in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why hasn't that happened? This is a mystery to me. About a personality crisis. You got a wild one. What's hot? And somebody got you go the frustration. That's what you got. Or this person. Why isn't she?
Keep smiling. Keep shining. Knowing you can always count on me. For sure.
Everybody in that video with Dionne Warwick, everybody in the That's What Friends Are For video is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Elton John standing right next to her in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hit after hit after hit from 1961 until 1985. Nobody made more hits than Dionne Warwick. She's rock and roll, my friend, from South Orange, New Jersey, from Columbia High School in South Orange, New Jersey. She's never even been nominated to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I just find that ridiculous. Oh, and here's one. Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow still sells out stadiums. Prolific songwriter, prolific performer. Why isn't Barry Manilow in the Rock Hall? Why hasn't he even been nominated? And the Association... The Association, the first folk rock band. Why aren't they in the Rock Hall of Fame? But last year, gosh darn it, we got Dolly Parton in. Thank goodness we got Dolly Parton in. Please run down her rock songs for me. Islands in the Stream? You're telling me Islands in the Stream was cooler than anything by the Association or Barry Manilow? I don't think so. Or anything... cooler than Dionne Warwick?
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for.
I don't think so. Here's somebody we'd like to hear a lot more from.
Family's there, Texas Longhorns there, going to the playoffs, let's go.
What was that? That isn't what I wanted. Why do I have this fight every week? Why do I have to struggle like this every week? Oh, this is the one I wanted. Here we go. Here we go. Titus.
I grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's right on the border of Idaho and Washington. And it's a cute little town.
Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney.
I grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's right on the border of Idaho and Washington. And it's a cute little town.
If you're a man, looking at Sydney Sweeney will make you very happy to be a man. If you're a woman, it will lead you down the path of fantasizing about lesbianism. That's what it will do. Sydney Sweeney. Now that you know who it is, do you want to hear it again?
I grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's right on the border of Idaho and Washington. And it's a cute little town.
Sydney Sweeney. She's in White Lotus. Anyone But You is the feature film that she's out there promoting now. It's, and then what have they has, she has a Marvel movie coming out, Mrs. Spider or something. Miss Spider. I don't know. But I do know that looking at Sydney Sweeney is a life-affirming event. And therefore, we're going to phase out Ashley Benson. Ashley Benson, now that she's married and is no longer on Pretty Little Liars, is no longer committing the dark arts of lesbianism with Cara Delevingne. Now we're going to be done with Sydney Sweeney. And every week we will feature something profound from, I'm not Sydney, I'm sorry, from, yeah, Ashley Benson. We're going to be phasing out Ashley Benson and only listening to Sydney Sweeney.
I grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's right on the border of Idaho and Washington. And it's a cute little town.
All right. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about who should have gotten into the Rock Hall of Fame. And I want to hear from you driving an 18-wheeler. There's this movement for 18-wheelers to not drive into Manhattan anymore or for a period of time. Chicago, whatever, some guy, Chicago Cheyenne or some trucker in Chicago, he called at least 10 other truckers and they've all agreed not to drive into Manhattan. And you may think that the decision by the wacko judge against President Trump was very wrong and will win an appeal because there's nothing there. No one was harmed. Who ever heard of a lawsuit where no one was harmed? An indictment where no one was harmed? And no, the taxpayers were not harmed. These were sophisticated banks and insurance companies that vetted and vetted and vetted any amount of money, like $50, $100 million that they were going to invest in any other company. It is the fiduciary's responsibility of the lender to check out who they're lending. That's how it works. Everybody seems to know that, but that judge. Therefore, the truckers of America are protesting the decision against President Trump and are saying we're not going to drive into Manhattan. I don't think that's true. I don't think one trucker is going to do that. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. You want to hear it again? 888-688-9258. Oh, my gosh, my friends, this is a live radio show. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by lesbians.
And how long have you been into women? I didn't say I was. Yeah, and have to.
Well, I'll tell you. All right, I hope you're going to have a spectacular week because, you know, tomorrow is a federal holiday. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. And you're going to take it easy and you're going to do binge watching. I have been watching, what is it called? Oh, it's, give me a second, because I'm trying to remember too many things at once. It's too difficult for me. No, no, I'm not Joe Biden. Oh, my God, no. Now, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. This was amazing. A Minnesota city lost its entire police force due to defunding. In Moose Creek, Minnesota, the mayor and members of the council have voted to eliminate and defund their police department, all of it, every last officer, their citizens are hopeful that the county sheriff's office will send police to watch over their city. Throughout New Jersey and in many parts of the country, they don't have their own local police department. They are covered by the local state police, the police station that's near them. This doesn't seem to me to be an ideal situation, especially when they had a police department and they just decided to get rid of the police department because it was so pesky, you know, so pesky. I want to get the guy's name. Let's see. Get this. A newspaper prints the lottery ticket numbers, the super lottery numbers, or whatever, in Washington, D.C. A newspaper prints the winning numbers, the seven winning numbers. And they print it in the newspaper. They print it in an ad. The ad runs once, twice, three, four. So for 72 hours, the ad stayed online. And it showed these numbers. A man looks at his ticket and he says, I have those numbers. And he had those numbers, the ones that matched the numbers in the ad. And he goes to the lottery office and the lottery official says, it was like $320 million he had won. $320 million he believed he won based on seeing his numbers in the ad for this particular lottery drawing in a Washington, D.C. suburb. But the lottery official says, no, throw away that ticket. It is useless. Those are not the numbers that were drawn. And he's like, what do you mean? Here's your ad. And he had a photo of the ad. He had taken a photo of the ad. Sorry, the ad is wrong. The person who created the ad put in the wrong numbers. The problem is that they had left up those numbers for at least 3 days online. At least 3 days, nobody checked it. Nobody saw it. And in the way fine print down there, it says the drawing is what counts. The official decision as to whether or not your numbers are legit is up to the lottery agency. It's not up to some ad. Well, this guy, I'm looking for something. Hold on a second. I know it's very unprofessional. I just need to see something. Hold on. Oh, my God. This guy, this poor guy, he's now filing suit, claiming that he should get something, that those are in fact fine. And his lawyer's position is, hey, guess what? No one's going to want to play your game. No one's going to want to look at your ad. And it was your responsibility to post the correct numbers or to correct it immediately, but they didn't for 3 days. What do you think? You think that guy will win his $362 million? I think he'll be lucky to get lunch. I don't think that lottery organization will ever give him a penny because of the fine print. But imagine thinking that you have won the lottery and then finding out that you didn't, that the ad showing your numbers was illegitimate. Illegitimate. This is what I wanted to share with you. You ready? Oh, now I have to put on my headphones. You'd think I'd be more professional by now, but I'm not. You know, and I'm never going to be. Oh, give up on that. All right, here. Listen, I just got this. Not that. Here, this. I just got this. My Pillow. No, it's not a big commercial. Just listen. They've sold a mattress topper for years that's like almost $200, a mattress topper, 3 inches of foam. I have one. It's incredible. For the first time ever, this is being deep, deep discounted. And now you can get a MyPillow mattress topper of your very own and start getting some of the best sleep. Layer one, three layers. Layer one, MyPillow foam support. Layer two, transitional foam to help relieve pressure points. Layer 3, ultra-soft, patented, temperature-regulating cover. It comes with a 10-year warranty and a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, and it's backed by Mike's 60-day money-back guarantee. You just got to say Walter to get the price of $99.99 for the mattress topper. If you've priced them before, you know they were way more than that. They were like over $200. Now you can get it for $99.99. You go to MyPillow.com. You click on the mattress topper. Put in my name, Walter. And you get the deep discount, and I get credit for my hard work. The privilege of talking to you. Get the information about this show and about our incredible trip to the south of France. Get the information. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, or send me an email. I'll send you all the information. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Give me your real mailing address, and I will personally send you the brochure. I would love to meet you. Wouldn't it be great for you and I to go on a vacation to the French Riviera? I think we have earned it. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.